folks. This is Ted Cantu. Welcome to the Online Money Machine Show. And you're listening to AC/DC Live. The double disc set that just came out recently. 5 years ago. So you might want to go check that out. I'm just checking. It's new to me, so I've never really heard this. I was a big fan of these guys when I was a kid. And I'm still a kid, so anyway, that's why I got it. Anyway, welcome to the show. My name is Ted Cantu. That is C-A-N-T-U, and you're listening to the Online Money Machine Show. I'm an ex-art director for the main streets of Chicago and New York City, and I'm here living in Michigan in transit to New York. We're actually setting up our office in Stamford. We're pretty excited about that. So we'll have more developments on that as we go. So many things are happening right now as far as how to make money online. It's just amazing. For those of you who don't know who I am or what I do, I actually work on mobile device media, internet web video, shooting web commercials for companies, also website optimization, and we do SEO and sales copywriting too. So kind of the full gambit. And what I'm finding out a lot about a lot of companies is that they're not willing to do any of that. For their companies at all. They'll get a 5-page site, but they won't actively pursue customer acquisition on the web. So this episode is actually going to be about how not to run an online campaign. And I think it's something that is really relevant. We just fired one of our clients recently in Toledo. It's a very, it's a fairly known health company. They just didn't want to do any of this stuff. You know, see, the problem is that when you treat the website like a lottery ticket, you're going to have nothing but problems. And the website is not a lottery ticket. In fact, we actually turned down another business this week for a tanning company. And the reason why we do these things occasionally is because we know right from the get-go that if you treat your business or your online presence like a lottery ticket, like a gamble, it's not going to work for you. You got to actively go out there and pursue customers. Let me give you my rundown list for the week, and this is going to be hopefully make some sense to you. I'm working with a reverse mortgage specialist right now, and we've decided to keep the prospects in the same media. We don't want them to jump media. Let's say, for example, somebody sees your ad, and they see it in a magazine. Now you're telling them, we've talked about this before, I think, actually, on this show. But we say, jump the media, okay? So they read the paper, they see the phone number, which is fine. They can call the phone number, at which point you sent them to a website, which is a little bit too much for a lot of people. You're going to exclude a lot of people from doing this. Instead of having the operator close a sale on the phone or talk to a live person who can answer questions and hopefully secure an appointment or close a sale on the phone. They usually, a lot of companies don't do this. If you have a teleseminar, you don't say, thank you for calling and listening to my teleseminar. Now go to my website and do the order process. It's too many steps. So ideally what we want to do is keep them inside the same media and have them close. I know there's a company out of Canada that'll do teleseminars for you, and they'll actually close the sales for you. And that is very, very important. So they say, stay on the line, press number 6, and talk to a live person. You know, instead of sending them to another website where they got to go through another set of hoops to jump through to secure their order. A lot of people will not do that. So you got to remember that. The other thing, too, is there's a lot of different... I'm going to go through about 3 points really quickly on your online site, what they really need, okay? One of them is they need to know that the orders that go through your site will be a secure transaction. And you got to have some sort of a posting on your site that lets them know that... Your credit card information is going to go through an encrypted passage. Okay, that means that nobody can hack the information and take your identity. It's very, very important to do that. You also need to post it on your sites. A lot of you guys don't care. Hey, you know, we're not going to do it. We're different. But you have to do that if you want to get your merchant account. I know a lot of online merchant accounts are kind of stepping up the rules a bit, and they're being very particular in how these things are handled. The other thing is, I get this a lot, what is the difference between a merchant account and my merchant account swipe unit, you know, that I have? I already have a merchant account. I get that a lot. But thing is, your merchant account in your store, your bricks and mortar store, is it's different. That's a piece of hardware that's attached to your cash register. You still need an online merchant account gateway for your website, and that's different. And that actually goes into an online control panel, and it's wired into your bank. It works just like the hardware version, but this is the online version that gets connected to your website. You need both. If you run a store, and an online store, then you're gonna need both. Okay, you can't interchange one for the other. A lot of guys don't get that, but I get that quite a bit. The other thing on your site, you need to have your shipping policies and your return policies posted somewhere. And usually, what's happening now is, and I include in that list too your tax information. And I'm getting a lot of companies now that they don't think this is an important thing, or they'll swipe it from another site and then modify it, which I guess you could do, but you know, you gotta be careful. I would get very specific with your own policies and how you conduct business on your, you know, on your own. Seriously, I would go through a lawyer and get all the stuff checked out on your specifications, because every business is different. We have, I'm getting a team of lawyers now for what I do, because my business practice is very different from most other companies. And I want to protect myself and my assets and what I do. I suggest you do the same for yours. Return policies, cancellations, refund policies. How do these come together? If you have to fire a client like I did, like the people in Toledo who were nothing but problems. And you know, if you're in an information safe business where you get a client that comes in and all they want to do is extract information from you and take that information, either resell it or try to repackage it, and you know, you got to protect yourself if you come across these type of things. We were just at the Lawrence Tech University seminar yesterday talking about how to set up a business and how to deal with patent protection and how to secure your business. And if you're an entrepreneur on that level where you're dealing with large contracts, this becomes a really more problematic thing. That's a different type of entrepreneur, and we will talk about that a little bit more. But you see now, this thing's becoming very, very complicated for what you do. And another thing I want to talk about really quick that came up was, I have a lot of guys that are swiping stuff off of other people's sites. And this is called, stealing, plagiarism. They think nothing about it. They say, hey, everything on the web is free. I got that guy from Boston a month ago or so, that was saying, some pretty outrageous stuff. But the thing is, you know, nothing is free online. You know, if somebody wrote it, that is their property. Okay, that is their material. You can't just grab stuff, package it, and try to, you know, call it your own. And you definitely can't take a stolen article that you've taken off of someone else's site and put it to an article submission site. That came up this week. Can't do that either. You got to write your own stuff. And for those of you who don't like to write, it's no big secret anymore. You can go to places like, I know there's on Squidoo, there's a lot of, Squidoo.com, there's a lot of people on there who will actually write articles for you very cheap. And it's all original stuff. You can buy prepackaged type stuff. I lean more towards the original, if possible. And of course, you want to go to Elance, right? Everyone knows about Elance. I mean, that's another not very well kept secret. People do know about that now, and you can actually rent writers to work on content for you. The 4-Hour Work Week, Tim Ferriss talked about, by the way, you should download that from iTunes, by the way, the 4-Hour Work Week. And the author, Tim Ferriss, talked about how to get different type of assistants to come and help you actually, you know, get this stuff done. Frees up your time. But also, you want really original stuff on your sites. So you don't want plagiarism. That's going to happen to you eventually if you do it this way. Because I have no way to enforce this upon you. You do what you like. But the problem that you're going to face is if you continue to deal with business in this matter, you're going to find that you might get blacklisted. You might just have your rankings just ripped off completely. You might just disappear and fall off the face of the earth on the search engines. That can happen very, very quickly. I also want to mention really quick here, because we're going to go through this stuff really fast. It'll probably be a very short episode today, because I got a lot to tell you, and I don't have much time. One thing you want to do is, and this guy confirmed it to me yesterday very brilliantly at Lawrence Tech. I was very, very impressed. You need 600 pages. I know that sounds excessive, but you need 600 pages to get some sort of market penetration or get something to move. You need at least that much. Articles, they can be articles, they can be submissions of blog postings. And blogs are great, but I would actually do the articles and the blogs kind of in conjunction with each other. 600 pages is a lot more than what you may be willing to commit to for whatever you're selling. And usually when I spit that number out, people's eyes kind of glaze over and they're kind of aghast with terror and say, oh my God, that's so many articles. I don't know if I could do that. But that is a number that you're going to need to get people to really react to you and to do something about, fixing up their businesses. If you want to sell something, you're going to need a lot of penetration, a lot of market penetration. And also, all those pages that you submit are not going to get picked up right away. Some will, some won't. Probably, it depends how you have things worded. And they have to be optimized, of course. So I can't stress the importance of articles and, putting those into, some sort of a submission service. There's a lot of eZine-type articles, sites out there, but the problem I'm finding with those is they're just one site. People can go there and get them off that server, but that's only one place where they can go. And a lot of times, it can be a very slow process. And, if you go to my site, I've actually used iSnare.com. I've talked about it in several articles, and also it's on my site as well. And the thing about it is that when you submit these things to a service like that, they get picked up by other article submission directories. So your stuff starts to actually grow. I have about 5,600 links pointing back to my sites, because that's just how I'm connected. This thing continues to grow on a weekly basis. And, it's a really, really great way to go about marketing yourself. So marketing is a completely different thing. It's a continued effort to actively pursue and engage customers. It's a constant invitation to different things that you're doing. And sadly, a lot of businesses do not see it that way. They think, well, if my site goes up, the world owes me a living. And unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. You need to you got to actively cultivate stimulation from people. If you don't have that, you don't have anything. So, anyway, some people don't continue to get it, but that is what you must do, okay? So, those are my really rough notes for the week. The other thing, too, is that my guys in Toledo were very steadfast against doing some smart things, which totally baffles the mind. They didn't want to use Google tools at all to help promote themselves. And at some level, you will have to talk to Google to let them know you exist. These guys didn't think that was necessary. They were above that. So I can't take them on as clients, unfortunately. And by the way, just for those of you who have a lot of wax in your ears, Google email is free. Gmail is free. I don't know why you wouldn't want to get one and use it with these other strategies to get to the top. It just doesn't make sense to me. And the other option to that is if you're an absolute rule breaker, you're an absolute, you go against the grain for whatever reason, there's always PPC. You can blow a fortune on PPC. And I know a lot of companies who don't want to do that anymore. In fact, everybody I talk to doesn't want to do it. And I found back doors to get in without it. So, but everybody I talk to at many different income levels do not want to deal with PPC. That's pay-per-click. They just, for whatever reason, they're not into it. And so it's pretty interesting. Let me tell you a little bit about yesterday, what happened at Lawrence Tech, because I was really excited about it. I want to welcome my new student, Art Espy, to my group. Thank you, Art, for your support. And I'm so glad our rap session this week, we really got some great strategies on the table. And I'm looking forward to coaching you along, and much success to your company. And that was amazing. And by the way, I do want to mention, give a little plug to my buddy. He's got this company, Edge is so amazing. He's able to supply the right type of content for upstarts and companies. And you want to go check him out at 4steps2.com. That's the numeral 4, steps, the numeral 2.com. And he's based here in Detroit, and he's doing some pretty cool stuff. So you want to definitely get connected with him, because he's going to take you to some amazing places. And also, you know, this whole thing yesterday about the new style of entrepreneurs here, dealing on a higher level with companies and patents and getting lawyers is really exciting. And that was the, it's just nice to see other people say what I have to say for a change, have it come out of someone else's mouth. And that's exactly what happened yesterday, because we were talking about the innovation and change of Detroit, where it can go, you know, what happened to it. And basically, it breaks down like this. After the Industrial Revolution, people got really comfortable with jobs. The auto industry led the way in so many different ways of, you know, the different types of economic, you know, pulls. It just got divided so many different industries. And we were a leader at one time. The job mentality sort of took over somewhere along the line. And we lost that hotbed of innovation to the point now where you tell someone, I'm an entrepreneur, they'll look at you and say, what are you nuts? Would you lose your job? Are you crazy? Don't you miss that paycheck? What's wrong with you? Type of thing. Where that's not the whole spirit of an entrepreneur at all. And if you go to California, it's just the opposite different. People really think that entrepreneurs are, you know, that's a great way to go. And it's highly respected, and it's just a whole different, you know, type of feel and environment to it. And I really think that is really what is missing with a lot of the spirit here in Metro Detroit. So we do hope it comes back, and unfortunately, we won't be here, but, you know, in spirit we'll be here. I got some new partnerships here. We'll be going back and forth. And so, anyway, that's what's new on that. But really great talk yesterday. And hearing from these people who are just, you know, brought some really nice, new, fresh insight to the table of entrepreneurship. Also on the news, I just found out this week that Business 2.0 magazine is bitten the dust. Business 2.0 is my favorite business magazine. I thought it was right up there with Entrepreneur, and always looked forward to seeing it. I always read it, always, you know, purchased it, and got some really great, invaluable insight out of it. And then, sadly enough, it's no longer with us. So I'm not sure the whole detail of why that happened, but it's always kind of sad to see that when for whatever reason, that things just don't work out, and, you know, It's a tragedy. And if you remember, about a year ago, about a year and a half, looking at Blogging for Dollars was the classic issue. I actually bought issues of that and passed those out to a few of my colleagues at the time. And of course, they didn't get it, but I found value in it. And I was really, really excited about it, because I really thought it was really great. And they were the first magazine to really talk to us about what was going on with places like Read It, Dig, Delicious, and TechCrunch, of course, which we talk about on the show quite a bit. And Boing Boing and all the other great, you know, different blog sites that are out there. And they really kind of shed light on it, that people are actually making a ton of money on blogging. You know, it didn't pop up in Time Magazine, and it sure didn't pop up in Newsweek. But it did on Business 2.0. So I will miss that, and I hope that a new magazine takes its place that's just as innovative, just as fresh, and on the cutting edge for companies, because it's so important to keep on top of everything. And I also want to mention I actually met with my Dan Kennedy group out in Ann Arbor this week. I have a mastermind group I meet with in Brighton, and also the chapter is now split for the IBA chapter for Dan Kennedy. Great stuff out of Brighton, Michigan, and we also have one in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and that's once a month. If you want any information on any of this stuff, give me a call at 1-888-305-2532, and that is my 800 number. It's not going to cost you a dime except your time, and just, you know, let me know what's on your mind. All right, so then we've got some other notes here. Who is Dan Kennedy, by the way? Dan Kennedy is the millionaire maker, amazing copywriter, and just fantastic direct marketer, a real innovator. But for those of you who are going out to the Super Conference over in Nashville with me, you'll know what I'm talking about. I'm going to be there for about 3 days, and I'm going to hit the Van Halen concert in St. Louis and then swing out to Nashville and hang out, and it's going to be a pretty awesome thing. So what a way to kick off the spring. And there's going to be some pretty cool people there. And I'm actually going to have a lot of, I think it's, there's a lot of information marketers there. I think this event, we might have like, I'm just guessing, maybe like 500 people who are pretty hardcore at what they do. And, you know, it's just amazing. If you've never been to one of these events before, I was just told recently one of the best things you can do is go, check it out, and go to the dealer's tables and just take all the order forms. You know, whether you're going to buy anything or not, it's a great thing to grab all your order forms and study from these guys, you know, put it in a three-hole binder and just keep them on file, because how these guys extract money from their clients is incredible, and it's an art form all to itself. So anyway, that's really great. So do check that out if you do have the time. And let's see, what else we got here? I just want to talk a little bit about when you build sites, what's going to encourage customer action? Why would people really want to hear from you? I've just got one real stone in my shoe about these real estate guys, and I really want to just get it off my chest. But so many times I'll get real estate sites that say, we want to be a miniature version of, let's say, for example, Remax, or let's say for, you know, we want to look like Remax, but a miniaturized version of it. They're love letters to the company. They're not really designed to get business, and that's one of my biggest problems. Even from a search engine optimization standpoint, you put the name Remax right in the title of your pages. That's the first thing that the search engine see. You don't optimize it any other way, so you're dropping the ocean basically, and you're not. Instead of saying like Michigan, you know, let's see, for example, real estate. Well, a good one would be like, see, I like the whole thing with Michigan real estate application process in 30 days or less, or for what this. But I'm talking about a whole different thing now. I'm talking about reverse mortgages, which is a pretty good thing, because most times you have to wait 60 to 90 days. If you can get an application processed and approved in a month's time, it's a pretty good thing, you know. So we were just talking about this yesterday. Would be a much better title than saying, oh, yeah, we're with, you know, reverse mortgage company, one of the best ones in the industry or the country. It's just very nonspecific. I would leave the branding off your pages and go strictly for what the customers are looking for. There's a good chance you might get picked up a little quicker, and you might have a little more connection with your main audience. You know, that's really, really important thing. That's one thing. Bring the branding in later. For those who weren't there last week, we picked apart this postcard for a reverse mortgage company. We labeled all the things that were wrong with it, and things that we would change. I was amazed to find out that these guys spent, I think it was like close to like $18,000 on a mailing. Didn't get one response. That's a lot of postcards. And part of the problem was they announced who they were. They said, hey, you know, we're this reverse mortgage company. You know, this is why we're great. No one cares about that. You got to make it customer specific, and you have to tell people what you do. You have to tell people why you're, what's in it for them, you know. But this thing was branded with logos all over it. It was real slick and glossy, and you know, it just it becomes invisible at that point. It slips. Well, I don't know. Really can't say under the radar because it didn't even get picked up. So this thing has red flags all over it. It becomes not important at that point. People don't respond to things unless it really hits you on a gut level. And that's one of the things that we teach you here is that we want to make sure that your marketing is getting to the right people and has the right message on it, right? So just want to throw that out there. I wouldn't sink all my eggs in one basket. I wouldn't put everything in one area, you know. Same thing with websites. I mean, websites are great, but and you want different ones that do different things for you. But I wouldn't put everything in one area. I would spread it out, and I would really try to do some direct mail. I would do some white papers. I would do some. I would collect as much information from people as you can. Start building up a database. And one of the cool things I came across this week was really interesting. Hey folks, we're back. We had a little technical difficulty there. I just want to apologize for that. I was caught in mid-sentence and, whoa, there we go. Okay, now we're back. We were talking about some of the, I came across one of my colleagues recently who had a really unique problem. I had the same problem that they do. And it's basically my audience is split into different factions. One is there's a certain group of people that listen to my stuff, that read my blogs, that read my websites. They're techno geeks. They want to be techno geeks too. They may not be professionals, or they may not be business owners. Most of them are not business owners. A lot of them are kids who are just trying to get their hands on the internet, get their arms around it, and try to sell and make their own way in this wacky new tech world. And then there's some business owners that do listen to it, but are a little confused by what I talk about. And those are really the ones that I really need to talk to, not so much the kids. So it is somewhat of a interesting dynamic. I do have one person I met with this week who had a really unusual way of working. His fundamentals are very close to mine, and I think it's just a great way to go. Whenever you hear something new, newsworthy and topical, you want to make a page about it and put it on your site. This guy thought nothing of putting together a page and putting it on his site. I just thought that was a really great fundamental. And he also knew how to optimize his pages too. So as soon as that page went up, people knew about it and they were able to become newsworthy. Here's where it becomes really interesting. Out of all these pages he had on his site, he had people calling him up and from newspapers and magazines asking his opinion, reporters mostly. And I thought that was really great because he found a way around all of this mess. And, you know, he was doing quite well. And I think what was interesting about him, too, is that he's picking up a lot of business out of Dubai, right from his Michigan office. And that's just because he strategized his pages, his campaign was flexible enough to market in those other areas. He knew where his hot markets were, and I think that was really the most incredible thing. So anyway, something you want to consider how to do that, because that's an amazing thing to do. We're going to be doing that to a certain extent, actually growing that stuff, but. Anyway, our campaigns are going to only get bigger if we do the right things. So anyway, to take a tip from my clients this week in Toledo, sorry to see you go, but you earned it. And, you know, there's so many different opportunities out there that the rest of us can learn from. That's not how to run a campaign. You don't do plagiarism. You got to talk to Google. There's things that you must do to make this thing successful. If you have any questions at all, give me a call at 888-305-2532. This has been Ted Cantu, and we are out of here, and I'll see you next week.